See if that's on. Well, I'd like to greet each of you in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ, tonight. I'm happy to be here with you. You'll probably pick up on that Aiden's really been on my heart. Because I think my subject matter actually kind of comes from thinking about the things we pray for, that we wish for, we want to come to pass, and yet they're hard when they come. It's hard to be prepared for change. It just is. You think about somebody being brave enough to embark on their life, and I, as a parent, I think about parents being brave enough to let their kids embark on a life. It's tough. Change is tough. I want to talk about attitude tonight. I want to talk about being born of God, a necessity if we're going to embark on this life. And I'll start out by a couple readings just to acknowledge God, who He is, what our relationship is with Him. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only thine eyes shall thou behold, and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And I'm going to turn over to Psalm 18. Just going to read one verse. Verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. The Lord God built this earth. He created each and every one of us. He also created all the people we don't know. And when we launch out in life, largely, that's where we're going. Kind of to the unknown. Aaron has reminded us of a quote many, many times, really, at least twice. And I think recently he talked about it not this last sermon this morning, but the one before. It's a quote by John Shedd. It says, "A ship in harbor is safe, but that is not what ships are built for." And I read online a discussion about that quote. And one of the observations that one of the people made in the discussion was that a ship goes beyond the horizon. It goes to places we cannot see. I remember when I moved my family to Cincinnati. Hard time. Very hard time. One of those times where the easy answer is, you know, I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna ask God. He'll let me know what to do about this opportunity that's here before me. And so I'll pray about it, and that'll take care of that. I wasn't really prepared for him to say go, but sometimes that happens. So we moved to a town where I didn't know anybody to begin work and get to know my neighbors, and now there, I still have many friends back there. I remember one of our neighbors came to Cindy to talk to her. Said that before they came to our neighborhood, they weren't there when we came. She was worried about it. And she prayed that God would help them find a neighborhood that would be good for them. And she wouldn't have to worry so much about the influences of the world and so forth. And they moved to our neighborhood. We didn't know what she'd been praying about. We didn't know her yet. We ended up having Bible school at our house for 7 years, and they were part of the kids that were there and so forth. And Cheryl, the mom, she was the one that had prayed about it, and she was there every day serving cookies or doing anything she could to be part of that Bible school. And she talked to Cindy about how God had answered her prayer. And yet, there's this piece of me that was always saying, but why did you move me here? There's always a reason. There's a path. There's a purpose. We are not here by accident. Not one of us. Not one of us. I'd like to turn now to just set up a little framework to talk again about Christ and our relationship with Him. In this place that we live in, let me go to John 1:1, St. John, chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to read to verse 13. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And I want to stop for a little bit. I read that. I've read it many times, and it rolls off your tongue good and smooth, you know, but consider the sadness of that statement. "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Just didn't even realize it. didn't realize what they saw. It leaves me an empty feeling. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, and that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Another important verse. Born not of blood, not just simply born into it, nor of the will of the flesh, not just because I wanted to. Nor of the will of men, the pressure of peers or whatever it might be. It's not just because of the will of man, but born of God. He has given us to be the sons of God. And that's what we need when we embark. He is our foundation. He is our salvation. He is life and light. And without him, there's darkness. When that ship leaves harbor, that's not one of the great desires of the captain. Man, I want to sail into darkness. Nope. Nope. And I know that there is much darkness in the world. This is just a little corner. You look and I'm sure that I don't even comprehend it or understand it. Susie and I sat in Filberto's over here. Was that yesterday? We were sitting in there, and it was like sitting in a fishbowl watching the life of the homeless going on all around us. Three sides of that restaurant, we could see them everywhere. We watched their interaction. We watched a very large group move in on an area. There's a large transformer, it looks like to me. That's what I would call it. Sitting over there close to Quick Trip. And these guys had a couple shopping carts. And they had a couple of those great big flat carts, like from Home Depot. And they were completely brimming over full of stuff. And they stopped over there by that transformer, and they kept running behind it and pulling things out and stuffing their carts with stuff. Well, there was three of them doing that. And suddenly this guy comes out of Quick Trip, and he's got a drink, and in one hand he's got a golf club. And he quickly saw what was going on, and he came running over, and he was giving them what for and threatening them with that cart. And he threw his drink on them and did everything he could to try to chase them off and get some of his stuff back. But they kind of prevailed 3-on-1 and headed out. And I believe that when we go past that horizon, when we embark to be literally, to shed that light, which is Christ, we will face things that are powerful, that are dark, things that we don't understand, environments that, when it comes to that environment, I'm sure those people are smarter than me. They understand how to survive better than I do when it comes to the the flesh. I think all of you realize that where we live, in our homes, it seems so peaceful and kind of separate from those things. But literally, they live all around us. They're in the greenway over here, in the wash, and under the bridges, and just sitting by their shopping carts and whatever. In fact, we had trouble with my garage door recently. And so while I was going on a mission trip, somebody came and took my bike. And it is sad. But I'd be happy to say, okay, he took my bike. In 10,000 years, I may remember that bike, but it's not going to apply to the environment I will have spent the last 999,000 years or whatever. There's a lot of stuff in life, and it's not that light. It's not the life that is in Christ. Let me go to Psalm 100. And I hope that you not misunderstand me, because I feel like we have to make good decisions, that we have to make decisions and embark, leave the harbor. I believe it that comes to us all. That has to happen. But I'm really not saying that we must become the author of our future. I am not saying we are the power that will help us survive. It is the Lord, and it never changes. It's always that way. We embark as the sons of God. That's what he has promised to us. So, Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And then I'm going to jump over to Alma. No? Actually, I'm going to go to Messiah, second chapter. I think there's an important verse related to what I just said. And now, this is verse 36 of Messiah, the second chapter. And now, if God, who hath created you, on whom ye are dependent for your lives and for all that ye have and are, doth grant you whatsoever ye ask, that is right, in faith, believing that ye shall receive, oh then, how had ye ought to impart of the substance that ye have, one to another. And that the first part of that verse, if I could just leave here, and that was just engraved on your heart, I will have accomplished so much. God, who created you, on whom ye are dependent for your lives and for all that ye have and are. It's not even us that create who we are. It's him. We are dependent upon him. And we need the humility that surrounds that, understanding continually that he is God, and always remembering him that way, and that we depend on him. I think of the fact that, it says, he created everything that was made. And if he didn't create it, it doesn't it never was made then. And I think of the fallacy sometimes in life, how we think about, is God present with you? Think about where you are. You are in His creation. That's the one place you can start making choices. Are you with Him? Are you putting yourself where you can be with Him? Is your attitude, is your heart in that place that fastens you to Him? Is He buckler? Is He that buckler? Are you fastened to Him? Let me run over. I was going to read out of Alma, the third chapter. Because I wanted to say just one more thing, which you've heard me say before. It's just another expression of the fact that we need to be born of God. All that we have and all that we are born out of Him. Oh, you know, I turned back over to Messiah. Alma 3, verse 11. Behold, He changed their hearts. Yea, He awakened them out of a deep sleep, and they awoke unto God. There's a popular expression today that I think is so misleading that all these New Age and politically correct notions. If you believe all those and you follow all those, then you are woke. It's a phrase you hear all the time. This is woke. To be awakened unto God. To have your eyes opened. That's woke. Now I will go to Messiah. Kind of where part of what I had read before, but I'm going to go starting with the 13th verse. I'll read starting with the 13th verse. Believe in God. Believe that He is, that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that He will forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. And again, I say unto you, this whole bit of doing them. I actually heard a real good sermon, talk, whatever you want to call it, from a young man, and this has been years ago, so he's probably not young anymore. His name was Matthew Kelly, and he talked about kind of that paradox of going to church, that you go and you're hearing such important things, and you just don't get it. The preacher gets up, and he preaches the same sermon every week. It's so boring. They never have a new thing to say. And he said, until you do them, you go and you listen to the sermon, and the preacher says, this will get you from point A to point B. And he preaches this sermon talking about God and how you're supposed to obey him, how you're supposed to repent and be baptized. And he said, it's when you start putting one foot in front of the other with great intention, trying to do exactly what he said. And he said, it's a miracle. You spend a week trying to do those things, experiencing them, and suddenly you come back and he's talking how to get from B to C now. Because you've grown. You heard. And you put it into practice. And so you come back kind of wearing it. And now your eyes and your ears are open in a different way. And suddenly, wait a minute, this preacher got smart. But that's the thing we have to do. That shows profit from coming to church. From, shall I say, being in the nest, returning to the nest, and receiving the sermon, not just being a spectator or listening to the sermon. Receive it. Put it into practice. And that's what he's saying here. If you believe these things, then do them. It's like when I was a kid. Today, I'm still not a public speaker. I've done a lot of it. I've literally done a lot of it around the world. It was an important part of the job I had for 40 years. I was a subject matter expert on several things within my career. And so I was always teaching classes and teaching people how to look at things and how to do them and how to recognize and troubleshoot problems. You know, pretty technical, but I did it because I cared. I did it because I knew the subject. Because I found that if I don't know the subject, I really am horrible. I can't just get up and give rote words. They don't even mean anything to me. We need to know. We need to have had practice. So I'm still not a public speaker. And when I was a kid, the idea of getting up and giving a testimony, oh no, no way. Well, one day I was sitting listening to testimonies at church, and a young lady got up and she said that her grandmother had taught her that you get up and give your best effort to give a testimony, she said, you will be blessed every time. Even if you forgot what you wanted to say, even if you feel like you messed up, you will be blessed every time. And this young lady said, it's true. Every time I try, I'm blessed. You know, I thought about that. I chewed on it for a while. And finally, one day, I got up and gave my testimony. And it probably sounded more like, wee, 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 wee. I got up, and I was so terrified. And I got emotional, and I just kind of cried a little bit and then sat down, you know. But I did feel blessed. And it was almost like, from then on, I was kind of hungry to get up. And it developed in me because the passion was in my heart and the hunger for a spirit, for that blessing, I would get up. And that is the beginnings of this embarking for that horizon. This is, you know, who are you in life? I tend to understand sports metaphors or whatever, so I think, you know, in a game, who are you? Are you a spectator? Are you, anybody know what an armchair quarterback is? That's the guy who knows all about it. He sits on his couch and eats his chips and he criticizes everything everybody does on the field. You know, he kind of does nothing. He's a judge. He's a critic. Is that who we are? or are we a player? Do we embark? Do we put our whole of our effort into this game that is life? Because that is when you begin to taste God's Spirit. That is when you begin to reap those blessings and you begin to believe oh so much more heartily. So let me continue with verse 18. And again I say unto you, as I have said before, that as you have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if you have known of his goodness and of and have received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so, I would that ye should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your nothingness and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures, and humble yourselves even to the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which is spoken of by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you, that if ye do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. I read through verse 23 there. Now I'm going to turn over to wind it up. I'm going to go back to my story of what I consider one of my bigger sails out of the harbor. When I moved to Cincinnati, literally, I did not know all the what and the why. I got the answer to go. And I thought, you know what? As long as I don't know, I do know to do good things. And I know who God is. And I know to try to display who he is to me. And that's, you know, like I told you, I'm not a public speaker, but that's part of why I get up. I honestly wish for everyone the joy that I'm living. Not just when I get up and speak. I feel it in my home. I feel it when I'm past the horizon, when I'm by myself, traveling around the world, doing my work or whatever. I still know the joy of the Lord. He is ever present with me. And it's not because I'm great. It's because he is great. He is so great. And I would that you would embark even this day. Take advantage each moment to try to live what he's asked you to live. To give your testimonies. To walk the walk he's asked you to walk, that you might taste in more abundance of his love, that you might experience his great affection for you. I heard a quote, a guy was in prison talking to prisoners, and he actually interrupted another speaker, and he said, hey, you guys listen up. There's not one of you here that doesn't actually know you could use some goodness in your life. You can use some advantages that you may not feel like you've had in the past. He said, if you could in any way know, feel how much God loves you, even the baddest man would turn around. I know that's not correct English, but that's what he said. Even the baddest man would turn around if he could know the love of God, what it actually is. Yeah, it's a frustrating thing to hear that quote, that light shone out in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Try to be, if you can, like John. I've actually heard it expressed, you're not the sun, but try to be like the moon. Try to reflect the light wherever you go. Shine on people. I also thought of, if you read through the Bible and Book of Mormon, there's so many stories of that embarking, where somebody goes into a land feeling the call of God to do what they did and the blessings that they had. But the other thing I observe is that it's not this great wealth and ease and all those things. If you consider Joseph of old, one of the things that, you know, especially when I used to work in psych, you could tell how important a healthy support system, like somebody who comes from a good family, that, even when they're gone from them, it's a huge support to them. I'm not sure I would call Joseph's family a real healthy relationship. I like Joseph best. The rest of you kids just deal with it, you know. I'm not sure how I would have felt. Would I be so bad that I'd go ahead and get him sold into Egypt? I don't know that either, but that's kind of the situation. Was it fair? It wasn't fair. Was it comfortable? It wasn't comfortable. When he was in Egypt, he was a slave. He was a slave. And yet he became one of the most powerful people in Egypt by the power of God. And then he became a prisoner. A prisoner, a slave. These are the things we can experience. I think of Ammon. He was a good worker. And the light of God shone in how well he served the king. He was more like a slave. He was a captive or a slave. And yet he shone the light of God. I think of Gideon going without enough manpower into battle, thinking, wait a minute, I'm not the leader you want either. He when they chose him, he said, wait, you got this wrong. And yet it was that the world might know that there's God. I think of David as it calls him a ruddy shepherd, a young man. I think he was maybe 17 when he was sent out in battle alone against Goliath. But what was in his heart? He said that the whole earth might know that there is a God in Israel. That's why we must be about his purposes. We must be willing to... Sorry, my watch keeps going off. My diabetic meter is not communicating well. And so I want to encourage you that nothing changes. God still remains God in the hard times. He still remains available in those times we are so discouraged. It's hard for us to pray. But answer that door. Pray. I have a cousin, a double cousin, Jim Case. He was drafted and went over to the Vietnam War. He ended up being stationed in Laos. But they had a sergeant who, this was in the days of awakening, where political correctness had already started, and it was frowned upon to talk about God and those sort of things. And yet he had three sergeants in a room talking to he and these other guys just as they're dispersing in their deployment, going to their assignments and so forth. They were new, they were young, and the three of them were standing at the front of the room, and they had delivered a lot of information. And then they said, okay, we have something really important for you to hear, and we're not going to be here to hear it. And the other two stepped out. So there was no responsibility to report what he said. And that other sergeant, he said, I know you have an opinion of where you stand in life and where you stand with God. I know some of you believe and some of you do not. But he said, in the heat of battle, when you don't even know where all the bullets are coming from and which way to shoot back, and you see your friends falling around you, you will believe. He said, you will shout your prayers out loud. You will not be shy or embarrassed. He said, so go ahead and start to deal with that now. We need good soldiers. I have one final quote I want to talk about, and it's actually on a plaque or a big poster that I have at home. It's got a great big sailboat on it. I feel like I learned a lot when I learned how to sail a sailboat. And incidentally, if anybody ever wants to go sailing, I'm always willing. Just ask me. We'll get you out there on the water. But the saying is this. It's by John C. Maxwell. He was a very prolific Christian writer, and his focus was almost always leadership. And so that's kind of how the language that it's in. It says, the pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects the wind to change. A leader adjusts the sails. One of the things I've been out with Alex, and I've been out with Aiden, and one of the things that is hard to understand at first is that if you're trying to get from point A to point B, and the wind is coming straight at you from where you're wanting to go, you know, you can still sail there. You can sail into the wind. It's the neatest science. But you learn to pay attention. And it's the thing that when you embark, it's the Lord. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit that helps you come into the present. See what's around you. Understand your environment better so that you know what to do to get along. How to try to avoid the dangers. how to make progress from point A to point B, how to accomplish your work, and how to do it really well, really well, so that people will behold your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. My prayers are for each of you, and I trust you will pray for me. Please, please, don't be a spectator. And the world doesn't need any more judges. Be a player. Put one foot in front of the other and glorify God.